time, so we're going to have this. God is going to blow up my voice, but I'm going to be just fine then. I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to go right to the Word, if that's all right with everybody. I will say my voice a little from the singing. So let's go to prayer. We have just a few people here, but God put something on my heart that I just believe is to say what you want to say. And Lord, I just pray you'll just give me the exact words to say it, the spirit to say it in, the anointing, Lord Jesus, so that you could have the freedom to have your way among us this morning. Meet all our needs, Lord Jesus. Heal the sick. Deliver us, Lord, whatever was going on in our minds and our spirit realm, Lord Jesus. Just whatever spiritual needs we have, Father, we expect that you will come this morning and meet those needs because you promised to do so. Lord Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to turn your Bible, we're going to read out of Isaiah 60 and then Zechariah 14. This is actually part two. Two weeks ago, I spoke a message here about the seduction of the going between, and I thought that was going to be it. This is part two, all right? This is, and there's probably a part three coming because it just opened up more and more, so we're just going to start from there. So Isaiah 60 and 1 says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Amen. 2022, this is where we're at, the gross darkness of the people. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee." And that's also 2022, brother and sister. We see this happening on us. Amen. If you want to turn to Zechariah 14. And again, very, very familiar. You could probably quote it. Verse 6. "It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark." So it's just kind of not really bright, not dark. It's just lukewarm. "But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light." You may be seated. So we recognize that it says evening time. This is not talking about as far as a day, like a 24-hour day or something like that, but it's going to be the evening time of the Gentile age, the evening time last of that. It's not going to be to the church because the churches are going to be in gross darkness. When that says gross darkness on the people, we need to recognize that's not just talking about the people out on the street. That's talking about the churches. Yeah. The churches have the gross darkness. And, of course, you see it on the street, but those people don't even count in what we're talking about. He's not even dealing with those people. He's dealing with the church and the people who call themselves Christians. And so when we look at this, recognize that gross darkness is in the churches. And you say, well, yes, all those denominational churches. No. No. He's not dealing with them anymore either. He quit dealing with them about 1977. This is message believers he's talking about. He's bringing it all the way up to the end, and that's where we're at. We have to come all the way and see exactly where we're standing too. So let me just reiterate some of the last time I spoke, just to get everyone up to speed so you can remember. I read this quote. It says, "Now to the church, shalom, God's peace." Every true Hebrew, when he sees another, it's shalom. Other words, good morning. God be with you. God's peace go with you. It's good morning. How do you do? It's breaking day. So what he's saying is he's telling the church it's a new day dawning. It's a bright light. It's going to start shining, and we need to be aware of what's going on so we don't miss it. It's not the same old day. We're not stuck in that same old Laodicean church age, although physically, naturally, we're still in that church age because there's not another church age. But at the end of that, there is actually a bright age that has a light shining in it. He says, "It's good morning to the church. Christ is appearing among us. Shalom, peace." When we see darkness settling, darkness just before day, we know that the morning star is hanging yonder to introduce the coming sun. It's that's when the morning star shines, and we recognize what he's saying is the morning star is saying, "Hey, good morning. It means the sun's coming." He was actually performing what he was saying was going to happen. He was actually doing what he was actually saying he was going to be doing right there, the morning star. And it's saying, "Hey, there's a new day dawning. The seals are open. The Bible has become a new book. We have a whole new view. We have a whole new perspective of Jesus Christ. We know who he is in a greater way than any age has known before. And this is what we have to see to be in the bride, to be out of the light." I mean, so out of the darkness into the light, you have to step off into this new day. Right. You cannot stay in this old, right, the old age you were in. He said, it's the going between. It's that dawn, like I said. It's that time when the
Very light, you can see very well, but the sun hasn't come up yet. And this is where the seduction is. People want to stay in that dawn because it's comfortable. Because when you get off into the sunlight, it gets hot and it becomes uncomfortable. And you start burning, you start sweating, and people run for shelter. They run for direction. It's starting to bring a rebuke. It's starting to say, you got too much of your old greenness in you. You got too much of your own idea, your own religion you're trying to bring with you. And it's pointing it out. And people are like, oh, I don't like this anymore. I don't like the way this is going because I'm uncomfortable. Because I like sitting in my message pew seat and just being comfortable, and you're making me uncomfortable sitting in there. And the Holy Spirit says, that's exactly what you need. And the Holy Spirit says, this is what I need. But your own flesh is saying, I don't like this, and I'm going to have a bad attitude, and I'm going to go find a church where I can sit and where I don't have to be uncomfortable when I come to church. All right, now we're caught up from last week, right? Let's go from there. All right. He says this, Luther was the messenger of one day of justification. The church lined right with it, some of them. The rest of them continued on. So here was that church had gone, and the Catholic Church had gone into the dark ages, but it was time to come up. It was time for to take the next step higher and come out of that dark ages for that wheat to start growing. And so the elect of that day, when Luther's message came out, and he said, I'm protesting that Catholic Church. That's what we're called Protestants, right? Because we're protesting that Catholic system. And the elect of that day, and other people also, not just the elect, but they heard that message, and they came out of that Catholic system. And some of them went on with it, and some of them just continued to say, oh, Luther's just a fanatic. That's just some old crazy person out there. I'm comfortable sitting in my church. And they stayed right in their church. But a lot of people came out and caused the first Reformation right there. But they weren't all elected came out. Because they said about Luther, it wasn't amazing that he could keep protest the Catholic Church, get away with it. It was amazing that he could keep ahead above all the fanaticism that followed his movement. And that's been the same in every age. And when you look at our age, we have, you know, elect come out, but everyone who had followed the message of the hour is not elect, because there's a lot of fanaticism has followed this movement. Why? Because Satan will always attach himself to anything God's doing to try to destroy it. Wesley came with sanctification, the church lined with it. Pentecost came with the restoration of the gifts, the church lined with it. The elect of that day, listen, the elect of that day, and then faded away, went right back off in denominationalism. That's what has happened in every move. As God does a move, that message comes out, and the people, they follow it, and then they fade right back off into denominationalism by the second generation. Sometime even before that. Went right back. They faded away. Went right out with the rest of them. All of them right down along there. Then went right back. Why would they go back? Why would you not stay with the message of the hour? Why would you not come? Because it gets real uncomfortable. It's not so shady. And so they like that shade. Remember, Israel came out of Egypt. They got out in the hot desert sun. What did they start doing? Complaining. Oh, I wish I was still enslaved in Egypt because I was comfortable. How quickly we forget what it's like to serve Satan. How quickly we forget what it's like to be bound and chained to denominationalism instead of out in the hot. Because why? Because our old flesh doesn't like it. Nobody does. Nobody does. I've heard people say, well, you know, the bride, you can't preach it too hard for the bride. You're right. Man, I'd love when he just lays it on. Just give me a good whipping. Now you're lying. How many of you went to your dad? When you're 10 years old, you went up to your dad and said, Daddy, would you please whip me really hard? I just really want. You didn't have my daddy. No. The Bible says the chastening is not pleasant, it's grievous. If it's pleasant, you're not getting chastened. You're having like a little pat on your hand. Now go take a timeout. You've been a bad boy. Go take a timeout. That's how they raise kids today. Oh, no, they don't. They don't tell them they've been a bad boy. You never tell someone they're bad. You say, you just made a bad choice. Go take a timeout. That's what message preachers are doing. They're not bringing the rebuke. They're not bringing that chastening because it makes people uncomfortable and they leave their churches. They're not as popular. He said, now, but when you notice people begin to try to line with the word. Oh, this is good. There comes a fresh message from the word of God right straight to the people. It kept that message in line every time. So what is he saying here? He's saying when the people that they want to try to align with the word, there's people that elect in that age, they have a desire for more than what's being preached in that age. They have a desire for more of God. And so what God does is sends them a message. Do you see what he's saying? Friends,
God didn't send the message, the prophet, so that the elect to the prophet. God didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to have a prophet in the last age, so I need an elect to listen to him. No. He said, I have elect in the last age. I need to send them a prophet. The prophet came for our benefit. This is why people deify the prophet. They get that mixed up. Other way around, because God knows that there's elect in this day, and their heart was to take a rapture, because that's the word that has to be fulfilled in this day. And in order to take a rapture, they need to be restored all the way back to the original, what produced the truth that could produce a rapture. And without that, this elect is not going in the rapture. So he said, I need to send them a prophet. When you get that the other way around, oh, God sent a prophet. It's for, you know, let's go hear the prophet. No, brother and sister, it's not because the prophet, he has to have an elect. It's because the elect, he has to have a prophet. And when you get that wrong, you deify the prophet. You make him some kind of a God, some kind of infallible person or something. And we just come and worship before the prophet. It's not the way it is, friends. All right, so what causes these non-elect? They come out of Egypt, they come out of denominations, but in their heart, and Israel never went back to Egypt except in their heart. And that's why so many people come out of the denomination, sit in a message pew, and in their heart, they go back to the denomination because it's comfortable. We had enough to eat. We had water to drink. Yeah. You had wormy, whatever, dead carrion from yesterday is all you had to eat in those denominations. And he had some stagnant water of a cistern to drink, but at least it was water. But the true bride, the real ones, they aren't going to be satisfied with that. That makes them sick. They need a fresh kill. So how do they fade away? Brother Branham tells us it's a fellow named Lucifer. Remember Lucifer, his name means light bearer or light bringer. He comes as an angel of light. And he looks right. Because when you're standing there in this dawn and you can look around, but you know the sun's about ready to come out, and the sun's going to come up out of the east, and all of a sudden there's a sun coming up over there. I said, wait a minute. The sun's coming up in the wrong place. They said, no, I'm the sun. Here's the light. But it's not where it's supposed to be, because it's a false light. That's what Lucifer does. Listen to this. He said this. In the last day, Lucifer is doing the same thing. The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church by hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual men instead of born-again men, building an intellectual kingdom that'll outshine Christ's little bitty flock. It's a false light, but it looks brighter than what God's light is. It looks better. It looks nicer. It's more comfortable. You have better people. You have better singers. You have better gifted people. You have all this nicer things going on because it'll outshine Christ's little bitty flock. And people look at this and I think I want that light. You know why else? Because the light from yesterday's light does not have any heat in it. There's no heat in that light. And so it doesn't bring you to a maturity, but you can look around and you see, well, I see lots of what's going on. I can see the word. I can see the opening of the word. I can see all this. I can live a good life. I could be a message believer, but there's no heat to make me uncomfortable. Because yesterday's light doesn't have any heat in it. And that's all Satan can provide. Presenting a religion people want. It looks better than the real. What is that that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. They came out, they belonged to Christ, then they faded away. Jesus said, if I had not come, you had no sin. As long as you're walking in all the light you see, as long as you're walking in that light, that going between that dawn, you're good to go. But when the light comes up and you refuse to walk in that, now you're a sinner. And that's what we have. Listen close, fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal. Can I add to the word here? Message believers, because those others aren't deceiving at all anymore. You're not going to be deceived by any of their doctors, any of their churches, anything they have to say. The deception has to be all the way to deceive the very elect, and so none of those count anymore. They're in total darkness, gross darkness. It's got to be a message. Who kept not their first estate like the angel did, fell into organizations like Luther's main hold at Nicaea. What have they done? Organized a great ecumenical association, ministers make an image to the beast. Oh, yeah, that's the denomination. Friend, that's also a message to believers. Come on, friends, let's not just be looking out there and saying, oh, the devil's out there. You got to look around and see the devil next to you. I'm not talking about beside you in your pew. I'm not calling y'all devils. Yeah. But he is influencing us, friends. The influence is there. And the main place to look for this, friends, is right here behind the pulpit. This is his main way, those fallen angels getting in the pulpit, deceiving people. That's where we need to be looking. They sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did that. They have wisdom. They have education. They can preach amazing messages and be a false anointed one, a false teacher. Wesley was a man of God. What followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels' first created beings of God that fell for Lucifer's wisdom? You see what they become? Fallen angels. And organizations from man of God who's went forth to establish truth in the earth. The message came and we went to establish truth in the earth. That's what it went forth. That's what the ministry is for, is to take this message to the earth and establish truth. Before that truth could go along and proclamate and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. That's what has happened. That's why we've seen so many things over the years, the false doctrines, the false teaching, the false preachers, the split off of here and the split off of there, because fallen angels got in there. They were created beings of God, but they fell for Lucifer's wisdom like Eve did in Eden. He said, now really, now I know this is what the prophet said, but surely, it's not that important. This is really, if you preach this doctrine, people are really going to look at you like you're someone special. And they would never admit to that, but that's exactly what drives it. To be something special. Something different than somebody else. Before it can proclamate, get a whole thing, the real revelation of Christ. So the message came to produce Christ, to produce a rapture, produce a bride for Christ. And before it could come and do that, fallen angels, message preachers got in there and twisted all up to get people off here and people off there. And the friends, they don't even realize what they're doing. They're deceived like Eve was deceived. It's not they're out there, I'm going to try and destroy the message. Now, people leave it and try to do that, but I'm not talking about them. They already showed their colors. They're not deceptive. Before the sun could come out, they presented a false light that appeals to the comfortable old nature. Our old nature wants to be religious. Our old nature wants to be saved. Our old nature wants to be a Christian, but it does not want to come God's provided way. And so ministers will offer him a different way, a substitute, an easy religion. You know what? All you have to do is listen to the tapes. That's not deceptive anymore, is it? No, it's not. We've seen right through that. He said that's the reason the revelation of the seven seals had to be unfolded. Why? Because it had to show the true light to differentiate between the true light and the false light. If the seven seals hadn't been opened, we would not know the difference because we see so many lights. We would see this is the ministry with a great anointing. Look at all this anointing here. Look at this anointing. Look at the miracles happening here. Look at all the supernatural things. And we look around and say, but they're preaching something different than they're preaching. And you know what we would have to do? We would have to do what the denominations do and say, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in Christ. It doesn't matter how you get there. Just get to Jesus Christ because that's all that matters. Just be a good person. And that's all they have. Why? Because they cannot differentiate between the true light and the false light. They can't do it because they've been taught and to stay in the shade. Now, there's only one thing can happen. There has to be a message at the end time where there's nothing else can follow it. Now, the ecumenical movement has set up such a regime that no denomination, nothing can follow it. You're either in it or you're not in it. The fruit is in the top of the tree. The light is shining on that predestinated fruit. She's ripening into Christ-like fruit, bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness in the same spirit that he had in him. The only way we can come into that same mellowness and sweetness and the same character as Christ if we're in the top of the tree being ripened into that kind of fruit. By your fruit, you know them. And up at the top of the tree, that's where the sun is the hottest. That's right. Look what Hollywood's done to the woman. Look how it's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. On and on we could go. see all this she lost. How did she do it? Because there was a subtle instrument called the church. Like there was in the Garden of Eden. And a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like it did in the Garden of Eden, deceived her into it. She's deceived. She don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willfully. Second Timothy says she was deceived. Deceived is not when you willfully do it. It's when you are deceived into it. They literally do not know that they're wrong, friends. All you had to do is talk. I have friends in that tapes only movement. I have family, I should say, in that tapes only movement. They are the most sincere people there are. They do not realize that they are literally being deceived. It's not willful. They're not sitting there, well, I know the prophet didn't say this, but I'm going to do it anyways. No, that's not what their attitude is at all. They take the word, and because the leadership tells them it's a certain way, they ignore what Brother Branham said, and they take what the leadership says because they believe them, and they, well, he wouldn't be wrong. He would not tell us wrong because of whatever reason they had to believe him, and they are willfully believing him and unwillfully being deceived. Oh my. Look, you can look out on the street. Go up to the average woman on the street and say, do you know what's wrong to cut your hair? She thinks you have lost your mind. She's never even heard something like that before. I'll have you know I go to the Baptist church and our pastor never says anything like that. You are a fanatic. You know you shouldn't be wearing pants? Now I really know you're insane. Because that has been so far gone, they are so far into darkness, there's not a shred of light out there. Not a bit. They're not doing that. Why? It's insanity. It's literally insanity. How are people being deceived sitting in these message churches? It's the same insanity. Because those false anointed ones are coming and preaching something different than what the prophet said while preaching his quotes. And we're going to get to something even closer than that here in a minute. All right, let me set that aside. I might get to that later. John 3:19, it says, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What is that talking about? If I'm sitting here in the shade, and it's a beautiful day like it was yesterday, wasn't that beautiful? Today looks like another day, same way. We have some nice weather lately. But if I step out in the sun, sit my chair in the sun, oh, it's a little bit uncomfortable. I'm gonna scorch my head here. I'm going to be peeling here in a minute, have a sunburn. I need to get back underneath to the shade because I don't like it when out there. Because when you're in the light of the word being preached, it says, you know what? You still have this bad attitude towards this person. You're still holding this grudge. You're still not trusting God. You're still not trusting the ministry. You're still disbelieving that. You still have this doctrine that you brought with you, and the Holy Spirit starts pointing these things out, and it starts scorching us up in the top of that tree, and it's like, this is uncomfortable. So I go back because I don't want my darkness to be exposed because I like it. What if I would have to actually forgive everyone who done something bad to me? Well, that would just kill me. It's so much easier to hold a grudge. It's so much easier to remember all the bad things that person done to me because then I can sit here and feel like I'm justified in not trusting them, not believing, not loving them, not forgiving them. Yeah, and then the ministry comes and said, you're not going in the rapture with that. And then we buck up, well, you don't know what they did to me. What'd they do to Christ? What was his attitude? See that mellowness, that meekness, that gentleness of Christ? Is it in us? Is it in us? If it's not, we need more sunshine, don't we? He that doeth truth cometh to the light. I spoke on this last time. He that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. And so what we want to do for the real believer, they will come to church. Because they need to know, am I right? If what I'm believing is right, is this the truth or am I being deceived? I want to know if I'm being deceived because if it's so easy for everyone to be deceived and they believe they're just as much right as I believe I'm being right, who's to say I'm not being deceived? You ever think of that? You ever wonder that? Am I being deceived? Why would I be right about this and that person be wrong? Why is it some kind of arrogant attitude I have? How come I'm so sure that what I'm saying is right and I'm so sure what that person is doing is wrong because they believe they're just as much right as I believe I'm right? So which one is right and how do you know? Because you come to the light to be able to be proved if your deeds are correct or not. You come to the light so you can be reproved and show, yeah, this is the light. And those people who want to come to the light, they do it because they want to know for sure that what they're saying is the truth, the life they're living is the truth, that the Holy Spirit that they claim to have is really a new birth in their soul. That's why we come to the light. That's why we sit under this kind of preaching so that it can be exposed that what I have, is it the genuine Holy Ghost or is it some deception? Am I really born again or am I just being deceived? That's why we come to church. That's why we sit under a ministry that will expose all that false stuff so that we know for sure that what I have is the genuine Holy Ghost on my soul, that I am born again. Because if you're not sitting under the light, there's no way you can know that for sure. I have to know. I was driving to church this morning, and this was going through my mind. And this whole thing, God, I was saying, God, listen, I am sure that this is you, but so many other people are just as sure that it was you too, and they're believing so many different things. Am I being deceived? If it's not, how do I know? I have to know. It's not something that, I just believe it this way because God has done this and God vindicated this. Brother and sister, that's not enough. I have to know for sure in my soul by revelation that this is the truth, not because I say it, I can see it in the Word, but because God proves it by living it through me. I have to sit here in this pew and let the Word come and chasten me and bring me to a place of surrendering, of being in a place of humility, that I'm ready to accept whatever God has for me. Because then if I come to that place, then God can do in me what He needs to do. But so many other people sit in the same situation, and they're just as humble, and they are just as dedicated, and just as sincere, and just as much zeal, and yet they're sitting under a false ministry that cannot bring them to that light. It's important where you go to church. You must sit under that true fivefold ministry, because without that, it's impossible to go into rapture. You must. Jesus warned repeatedly against it. Let me read some scriptures. You know these very well. Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Gonna get into something here right here, and I just really, if you don't hear anything else today, please listen to this part. I am Christ. They don't say I'm Jesus, they say I'm anointed. I stream a lot. I go to church a lot. I've seen a lot of ministry, especially during the quarantine 2020. I was streaming 2 or 3 or 4 sermons a day, hearing preachers all over. It's just what God put on my heart to do. Heard a lot of good preaching, I heard a lot of very average preaching. A lot of false preaching. But the key to all, to so many of this is, but I'm anointed. Look at the anointing. Watch the anointing. Focus on the anointing. Brother Branham preached that message, false anointed ones at the end time. If he wouldn't have preached that, we'd all be just as deceived as anybody else because we could not tell. Well, how do you know the difference? Because they're anointed. They have great signs and wonders following their ministries. Luke 21:8, he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go you not therefore after them. Wait a minute. They come and saying, I am Christ. They're anointed. He said, don't follow them. What is he saying? He said, well, if a preacher's anointed, you shouldn't follow him. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying when they're focusing on the anointing, don't follow that because they're majoring on a minor. Divine healing is a minor. All these miracles and signs, this is how Satan deceives everyone on the earth except the elect, because he can do all these many signs and wonders. And when the ministry focuses on, well, look what God's doing in my ministry. We have this healing and that healing, and this is going on. This person is delivered. This person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these mighty things, and they're right, it's happening. But when you focus on the anointing instead of the Word, they're focusing on the wrong thing. And it's so deceiving. So deceiving. Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to that time, nor ever shall be. This is the great tribulation period he's talking about. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Let me get back to that later. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. It's at the very last day, brother and sister, when these false anointed ones, these false prophets, these false preachers are going to come up and say, look, I am anointed. I can do these great signs and wonders. He said, that's what's going to deceive us. It's the mighty works. It's the genuine Holy Spirit. It is. It's the genuine Holy Spirit, just as much Holy Spirit as Jesus ever had. It's the same one. But it's anointing false preachers. It's anointing false believers. Has to be this goes. Look, friends, like I said, tapes only doesn't deceive us. It's been exposed. That got exposed. When Brother Joseph put out that little book and said, Here I Stand, it exposed that spirit. And how many ministers stood up against it and said, no, that proves right there. So any question you had up to that point, after that, there's the answer. Like, yeah, that's wrong. And yet so many people, oh, but it's Joseph Branham. All right. Is it the word? It's proven not to be according to the word. It proved to be a false spirit behind that thing. I don't care who it is. Paul himself said, if even an angel came and preached something different, let him be accursed. He said, if I preach something different, let it be a curse. Let me be a curse. Because anybody who preaches against the word is just wrong. I don't care what their name is. That's a harsh thing to say, but are we going to stand for the truth or not? That's not deceptive. And from my perspective, that was about the last. I'm sure there's other things I don't know about, but from my, like I said, I don't know a lot's going on around the world. But that was like the last big kind of thing, controversy kind of like to split the message. But everything you look at down through the ages, down through the time, like the message, you know, you had thunders, false doctrine. Perugia, false doctrine. Two souls, false doctrine. Follow this man, false doctrine. Tapes only, false doctrine. And you could always point at that and say, there it is. There's the wrong right there. Because they always have doctrine that split off and put up their walls. At this time right now, at this very end, there's not a false doctrine to point at. That's why it's so deceptive. Because they're not splitting off. They're sitting right in the framework of the true church. They're preaching out of the pulpits. And it is so close that only the elect will be able to tell the difference. And you look at it and say, that preacher didn't preach anything that was wrong. You're right. They don't have false doctrines. They're preaching according to the word. Absolutely. It's not like, well, you got to believe this doctrine, you got to believe that. No, not at all. What they're doing is they're focusing on the anointing instead of on the word for this hour. Because you can preach the message quotes and you can have great signs and wonders following your ministry. But they're looking at, just look at, I'm anointed. This is the voice of God. Believe what I'm telling you because I'm anointed. That is false attitude. That's a false approach to it. And they're not preaching any doctrine. Well, they're right what they're saying. Yeah, but they're not preaching the whole thing. Timothy said, Paul said in Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teacher having itching ears. What do they want to do? They want to go to church and have a big party. That sounds horrible, but let me just explain what I'm saying. They want to go to church and have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit till people are shouting, jumping, singing, dancing, speaking in tongues, being healed. Well, that's good. It is. It's necessary. We need to have that. But when that's what your major is, then you got something wrong. Because all you're doing is appealing to my desire to be in the Holy Spirit, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's a wonderful place, but you can do that every day of your life and die and go to hell. You can't major on just because the anointing is there. It will not save you. It will not get you to the place you need to be. It's got to be a rebuke. It's got to be a chastening that comes from the word. Love is corrective. And when these ministers refuse to bring correction because it will diminish their popularity, it will make people not like to hear what they have to say, and then they won't do that. But the only rebuke you hear them is, y'all are just sitting there. You need to say amen. You need to be shouting. You need to be praising. Why? Oh. Because they're trying to create an atmosphere that their gift can operate and they can show the mighty works that can be operated by their gift. And so they're trying to create this atmosphere without bringing the rebuke, without bringing the son, without bringing that part that's going to bring them to the correction that will bring a maturity. And it's just about, let's all go to church and just shout and jump and scream and be delivered. That's wonderful. We have to have that. That's not the main thing. I don't go to many youth services, but I've talked to a lot of people who do. I got family, their kids going, all that, and I hear what's going on. I bet you all can talk about this. And so many youth services, especially in the last several years, there are such a time when the young people are just running, they're shouting, they're screaming, they're dancing. It's wonderful. What an atmosphere. It's awesome. We need that. But you talk to those kids 6 weeks later, nothing changed. They're the same they were. Are you born again? I sure am. How do you know? Because at youth camp. Wrong answer. That's a wrong answer. You're born again because you recognize that your nature changed and you have a love of God that's with you every day. You don't have to wait till you get your next camp to get all jacked up again on the Holy Spirit, so to speak. You don't have to wait. It's not, your relationship with Christ isn't camp to camp or church to church or Sunday to Sunday. It's because every day there's something inside of you that drives you to Christ. There's something inside that just keeps you going, keeps hungry for more of Christ. I'm not pointing out, so, well, this happened there and that happened there. I'm talking about every day I walk with Jesus Christ, and there's such a pull, there's such a draw, there's something inside me that loves him, and it takes me through the hard times, it takes me through the good times, and no matter what's going on, I can be going through the hardest thing, and yet I still know that he is there with me. Even when I don't trust him, he still loves me anyway. It's a reality. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, not based on a feeling I had. Oh, hallelujah. It's not based on some experience I had. It's based on my everyday walking with something that's more real than this world around me. That's what it means to me. We have to have those times. I believe in shouting and jumping and screaming. I do it myself. You know that. This is something that's so necessary. But friends, you can do that. Not even know him. Totally deceived because you're not in the sun. You're just in the dawn. You just see light around you. And you say, oh, this is light. This is light. But is it the sunlight? Oh, my. Focusing on the anointing. I'm anointed. I'm Christ. That's what they're saying. I heard a minister recently. He literally said, I'm anointed. He's fulfilling the scripture. Because that's what he was focusing on. I'm anointed right now. I'm telling you that. This is an anointing on me, but that's not the focus. Because whether I'm anointed or not, I still want to preach the truth to you. If you like it or not, it doesn't matter. If you shout or jump or scream, it doesn't matter. My job is to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit will work on you to do how you want to respond to it. That's up to you. If that ever leaves this pulpit. That's the way Brother Jerry is. We don't focus on, oh, let's get everyone shouting and jumping. When we do, it's wonderful. I love it. It's no vindication that I'm right or that you're right. And yet we have to have it. We have to have healings. We have to have deliverance. We have to have new births. We have to have these things. If we don't have it, we're false. But that's not the focus. And this is where it's so deceptive, because you look at a minister, what he preached, you say, did he preach anything wrong? Nope. Was that the genuine Holy Spirit anointing? Yep. Did he misquote the prophet? Nope. Did he misquote the scripture? Nope. Was he anointed? Yep. Were people delivered? Yep. Did people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Yep. Were people healed? Yep. Then what's wrong? Because his ministry is not producing Christ, the manifestation of the word for this day. It's just producing a wonderful church experience. But you can't point at a false doctrine. You can't point at, well, they separated themselves or did this. You can't. It has to be that deceptive. It has to be so deceptive that unless the Holy Spirit, that unction inside of you, looks in that and say, and it's not like you're going around, well, that person's right, that person's wrong. No. Just listen to the word that's being preached and see how it affects you. See how it affects the spirit of you. See what's going on you. Because you can still go to a church like that and enjoy it like everybody else. But if there's something inside of you, if that seed inside of you is there, it's not going to be satisfied with just that. It's just not going to. But the false seed will be. The false seed will be satisfied. The attraction. Remember, Brother Brand preached that message, the attraction on the mountain. What was the attraction? It was the word being manifest. It was the fulfillment of the word in that day. That was the attraction, the fulfillment of the word. These false anointed ones, the attraction is to the anointing. That's why Jesus said it over and over. I come, I am Christ, I am Christ. Don't be deceived by this. Focusing on the anointing. Boy, they can preach well too. Oh my goodness. Good preachers. Brother Brandt says this. Thus at this very moment, we're in the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24:24. In as much as if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Who is it that shall attempt to deceive the very elect? The spirit of Antichrist and the false anointed ones of the last day. These false ones have already come in Jesus' name. They're message believers. They're not coming in Trinity. They're coming in the name of Jesus. Claiming they have been anointed God for that last day. And they are. They are the false messiahs, anointed ones. They claim they are prophets, but they are the one with the word. Never they have added to or taken from it. No one denies that the spirit of God manifesting in gifts is upon them. Great gifts. Great manifestation. But like Balaam, they all have their programs. Make their appeal for money. Exercise gifts. What's their appeal? A lot of times it's not for money. It's for popularity. It's so that I can preach to these big crowds and everyone can see, wow, what a mighty man of God. What a mighty gift he has. What a mighty display of the power of God in his life. And you can't argue with them. It's true. Balaam was a false prophet, but what he prophesied was absolutely true. It's still being fulfilled to this day. You couldn't find a thing wrong with his prophecy. It was the word that was wrong. They deny the word or bypass it for fear that a controversy might diminish their chances for greater gain. That's what it is, friends. Greater gain, to be a bigger name preacher, to preach up more pulpits, to have more people look at them. It's just human nature, friends. Yet they preach salvation. They preach salvation and deliverance through the power of God, just like Judas, with a ministry imparted by Christ. They will tell you great, great testimonies how God dealt with them, how God called them to the ministry. And it's good and it's amazing. It's gifts, it's a ministry imparted by Christ. You can't find a thing wrong with it. But because they are wrong seed, consequently, they have a wrong spirit motivating them. Religious, oh my, they outshine the elect in effort and zeal. It's all over the message, friends. There's people that are so zealous. You can see them. I'm not talking about there's a preacher. I'm talking about the people in the pews. They're shouting, they're jumping, they're screaming. You can see in some churches, and they just do this every service, and that's good. I am not preaching against that. Please listen. I am not preaching against that. That is good. I wish we did that more here. I wish we did that every service. But what are you shouting about? Just because you feel an anointing? Just because the Holy Spirit is there? Is that the only reason? Because if it is, you're just a lukewarm Laodicean. They outshine the elect in effort and zeal, but it's Laodicea, not a Christ, for it looks for big crowds, big programs, and startling signs amongst them. And they're there. The startling signs are there. I wish we could all take a trip, go to some of the message, the camp meetings and the special services and stuff around sometime. And we used to do that around here. We don't do it anymore. And maybe it's just to keep out of that. I don't know how God led us that way. But when you go around and you can stream some of these things and you hear what's going on and you talk to people who've been there and who have a wonderful time, please, please don't get me wrong. I am not saying anything against that. I wish we could do it. But I also wish you could see the difference. Because you can hear one minister get up to that, those special meetings, and it feeds your soul. And the next one gets up and it just feeds your spirit. Same meetings, same weekend. It's true. They preach the second coming of Christ, but deny the advent of the prophet messenger. Though empowering signs of true revelation eclipses them all. That doesn't happen so much. Many of these, they do not deny the prophet messenger. They agree with him. They have to, otherwise, because if a message minister got up and said, well, let me tell you what, I'm going to deny the prophet messenger. Well, we'd just walk out right then. They're like, well, whatever. They can't do that and be deceptive. Back then, in this day when Brother Branham was preaching it, yes, they were, but not today. It's got to be closer than that. This false spirit that in the last day is so close to the real can be distinguished only by its deviation from the word. And not because they don't preach the quotes, it's because they don't preach all of it. Because they won't bring that correction. Y'all are sitting there looking at me. If you really had the Holy Ghost, you'd be jumping out of your seat. You'd be saying, where's the amens? How come you're not amening me? All they're trying to do is produce that atmosphere so that they can see the manifestation of that anointing. That's not all they're doing, but that's what a lot of them are doing. I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier when you all amen. It is. But if you don't, I'm going to preach it anyways. Because God gave me this to preach. But it's good to preach to believers who are going to amen. Because it's like it encourages. It's saying sick into the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes out. Whenever it is caught, it says discouraged only by its deviation from the word. Whenever that spirit is caught in being anti-word, it falls back on the one argument we have already shown to be false. Here's their argument. We get results, don't we? We have to be of God. What would we do if we didn't have the false anointed ones of the end time message? Because they get results. If I was sitting here and I'm preaching, I pray for Brother Gene, and he says, you know what? I had cancer. I was dying. And Brother Phil prayed for me, and I'm right. I'm healed. Does that seem like a minor to Brother Gene? No. If you get healed by something, it's not a minor thing at all. What makes it a minor is that Brother Gene could be healed by that cancer, die 10 years later, and go to hell. But if my ministry produces a new birth in Brother Gene, whether he dies of that cancer or not, doesn't matter because he's not going to hell. That's why the word is the major. Everything else is a minor. And you can't major on the minor. You can have all these wonderful testimonies. We all have wonderful testimonies of things God has done in our life. And we need to testify what it is that God's doing that. But recognize with all that, it doesn't matter a thing if you don't have a new birth inside. And the only way that's produced is by the preaching of the word for this day. It's got to be a word birth. A word birth. The word is quickened in your heart and it brings you to life. That can only happen as the opening of the seals that brought the true word to us, friends. Please, I'm running out of time. I'm going to try to get through this real quick. Don't go out of here thinking I don't believe in manifestations of the Spirit. I don't believe that at all. I believe we need to have a more and more. We need to have a greater manifestation. We need to see these things. We need to see the sick healed. We need to see the deliverance. We need to, the spiritual deliverance, the way Satan attacks our mind. We need deliverance from that, friend. We all struggle with these battles in our mind. We need to have that battle. We need to win those battles. We need to have the Holy Spirit come and give us victory over those things. And that can actually happen through the ministry of these false anointed ones. Isn't that amazing? My. When Satan came down to the Garden of Eden as an angel of light and told Eve why he never denied, he said, well, that's all right. Sure, God has said that. But you know, you'll have more light. We got so many evil Eve lights today and Satan lights. And the Bible said in the last day, the devil will make himself an angel of light. Make himself angels of light. They have creeds and denominations, all that nonsense that goes on. Half of it don't even have any scripture to it, hardly. We're past that, friends. They have scripture to back up what they're saying. They have quotes to back up what they're saying. It has to be so close you cannot look at what they're preaching and say, well, that's wrong, because then it's too obvious. Well, you say, well, how did they get off the word then? Because they don't preach the whole word. They stay in part of the light, but they won't go out into the sun. They have light. They're walking in the dawn. They're walking light before the sun comes up. It's light around them. They preach that. But to go all out into the full light of it, it brings a chasing. It brings an unpopularity with what they're saying. I know I said that about 8 times now, but it just keeps coming back. He said, they'll say, well, we got power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got power. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, so close that it would deceive the very elected. How can a man dance in the spirit, speak in tongues, and deny the word of God being the truth and be the Holy Ghost? It just can't be done. They said, we got power. But he says, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Well, how can you have both? How can you have the power? They had the power to cast out devils. Judas did. They had the power to heal the sick. Judas did. But they deny the power of God. Well, what are they denying then? They're denying the effect of the word in a person's life, that word can change them to have the effect it's supposed to do it. And because they denied the effect by not preaching that word, they're crucifying it afresh. That is in message churches. Don't look out in the churches out there. They're not crucifying him out there because he ain't there. He's here. And yet you can sit in a message pew and in your own heart crucify Christ afresh by refusing to accept the full word that's being preached. That's how deceptive this is. That's how close we are. We have to see the word for this day made manifest. All right, let me just try and find a place to quit. He's talking about Jannes and Jambres. Moses came and did a work. Jannes and Jambres did the same thing. Moses did something. They did the same thing. Cheap magician trick. He said, why would he allow that? Why would he allow Moses to come out the true prophet and Balaam to come out the false prophet? Just as anointed. Prophecy just as true. Why would God allow this to happen in this day? We have true fivefold ministry. Anointed in a false fivefold ministry, deceiving people, not knowing they're deceiving people, not willfully. Pharaoh's denomination says, we have men that can do the same thing. They did it. Why did Pharaoh do this? Why did God permit it? Why would God send a true anointed prophet down there to perform a sign before Pharaoh, then let a denominational copy come around and copy it before the people? Why would he let an impersonator rise up and do the exact same thing the genuine Spirit of God done? See, the scripture must be fulfilled. He did this so he would harden the heart of Pharaoh and the Egyptians to prove that Moses wasn't the only one that had the word. They could do anything. They could do everything just the same as Moses could. Why did God let this happen in this last day? The same thing as the lying spirit said to Zedekiah, how are we going to get Ahab out there to make these things come to pass? How is he going to get these people trusting in their churches to get out there and let this thing come to pass that he predicted in this Laodicean church age? Because thou sayest thou art rich, have need of nothing. I said as a queen, have nothing. Knowest thou not that thou art miserable, wretched, blind? I counsel to buy of me gold, oil, and gold. Why did he do it? Because he had to fulfill scripture. Revelation had to be fulfilled. We had to come to this age, what Jesus said was going to happen. So he allows this to happen. Why, friends? To prove to you where we're at. This is to prove to you that we are at the last day. We are at the last deception. We are at the last deception. There's not another one goes because we have got as close as you can get. There's not another deception that's more deceiving than a false anointed one. That's why Jesus said it over and over. That's why Brother Branham preached that. This is the deception. It's not based on a false doctrine. It's based on a genuine anointing on a false person. And you could sit there and listen to them preach and find nothing wrong with it except their focus. And you watch them, and by their fruits you shall know them. And you see what their ministry produces. It produces a great, outstanding sermon. It preaches this great expression of the Holy Spirit. And people dancing and shouting and healed and all these things going on. But when you look at their life, there's something missing. Very zealous, very religious, very lukewarm. Because the word for this day is not manifesting. Okay, let me just read. I'm not even half done. Let me read one more quote, then I'm going to quit. He said, remember that Pentecostal church in the last day was a Laodicean, and Christ was turned out. I'm going to change it again. You don't say, well, you shouldn't change what the prophet said. Well, then throw me out of the church. That message-believing church in the last day is a Laodicean. Pentecost is not deceptive to us. Let's get past that. The message church in the last days is Laodicea, and Christ was turned out. The kernel, the wheat itself. Remember when he tried to manifest himself in the church, he was taken out. Oh, I wish I had 5 more minutes. When he tried to manifest himself in the message churches, he was taken out because it was unpopular, because people don't want the sunshine. They just want to walk in that lukewarm light because it's comfortable. That's why he's on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. That's message churches, friends. But they have the anointing, the genuine anointing. Can you tell them Christ is not in there when they're running and shouting and speaking in tongues and having this wonderful expression of the Holy Ghost, manifestation of the Holy Spirit? No, you couldn't tell them Christ wasn't in there. It was still a church, claimed to be anointed. But here's the word, Christ himself. That's the anointed word which shall come for the rest of his body, the bride. The anointed one of the same water that watered the wheat also waters the tares. Anointed ones, it's the same Holy Spirit. It waters the wheat and it waters the weeds. Only the elected or predestinated will be able to detect the difference between them. And it's not because you're going to look down and say, well, he preached this wrong. No, you won't be able to do that. They're smarter than that. Let me change that. That spirit, that false spirit, is smarter than that. He knows you only preach what the prophet preached. You only take what the Bible preached. But you take it into such a way that it keeps them from being uncomfortable. Only the elect or predestinated will be able to detect the difference. Everybody says, glory to God, we got freedom down here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We speak in tongues and jump. Friends, that's exactly what you see. We have freedom. We run the aisles. We do all these wonderful things in this Holy Spirit anointing us, and it's true. We got freedom of the women. You people try to put them under these things. Go ahead. There ain't nothing you can do. You can't turn a thistle into a wheat. They're a thistle because that's what they are. A wheat will be a wheat. A thistle will be a thistle. And the pouring of the Spirit just brings it up and manifests what it is. We speak in tongues. We shout. We dance in the Spirit. We preach the Word. Absolutely. That's the prophet said it. Yes, they preach the Word. He's not denying it at all. Not a thing to say against it. So did these men back here in the Bible. Jesus said it to see the very elect, if it was possible, the very elected, if it was possible. They preach the word, they dance, they shout, they speak in tongues. Put this away so I can quit. That's good, baby. So then why we sit here? Why do we see these things? It's because we're so spiritual. We're so smart. We're so intelligent. We're such good people. It's the grace of God, friends. It's nothing but the grace of God. And when you see how close it is and how many people are being deceived, how many really good people. Look, friends, I look at, they're better people than I am. Much better people. And I think, well, God, why would you choose that person? Why not that, but why not this? Their ministries, everything is so amazing, powerful, powerful manifestation of Holy Spirit in their lives. Then who are we to sit here, and who am I to sit here and say, well, they're wrong? It's the grace of God, friends. That's all it is. Why would God give me this to preach, to speak this to half a dozen or a dozen people, whatever is here? Why would we have these things? Why do we have this church going on? Why do the things happen in Dixon, Tennessee the way it has, and here we're still going on? We see other places that have just booming and just all this stuff going on out there. And look around and say, well, what's going on here? Let me tell you what's going on here. We're in this presence of the Son. That's what's going on here. And I have the evidence. It's standing right before you in this fleshly body. The evidence I can see Christ being formed in me. It's not just some kind of zeal. It's not just, oh, I want to see more God. No, I see the evidence, the word itself being manifest. I see the effect that the Son has on a wheat. It's bringing it to maturity. And I see it in you too. There's a quote, I didn't get to it. Going to come to a time, and you've heard this many times. They used to look around and say, I thought the rapture was supposed to come. I'm a message believer. I'm anointed. I have all this stuff. I've been a believer for years. I'm a preacher, whatever. I thought the rapture was supposed to come. And said, the rapture will go long gone. Long gone. What does that mean? It means that we're in the rapture now, friends. The rapture started now. Once you see that body change, when that body change happens, if you see it then or it's time for it, you're way past. You're too late. You're not going to get in it by that time. You have to be laying in the presence of the Son now to come to that point till you can be changed. Because as we get closer and closer, all these people around the message, they're going to see, it's time for the rapture. It's time for the rapture. Where is it going to be? What's going to happen? And the bride is going to say, yeah, because I see it happening. It's just all around me. It's just about time. But it's too late for someone to join by that time. Because it's already long. We are already in the resurrection. Oh, I wish I had time. We're going to stop. God bless you. Let's stand. See it happening around us. And especially in our own lives. And we see we haven't been deceived by just these anointings. We're not deceived just because we can go and shout and jump in church or because we believe what the preacher is preaching or something like that, but we see the actual reality of it. If we can see this, recognize that's because God's grace to you. It's just the grace of God. It's nothing else. There's nothing else to it. It's just God's grace has said, I have chosen you. I've elected you. I have predestinated you before the foundation of the world to be my bride at the very end time. And that person beside you, that person going to church here, that person, they just were not elect. That's all it comes down to. You can't change the seed. They are what they are. And these things happen so that they can fulfill the word. You say, my human mind says, I don't see how that's fair. Oh, I wish I had time to go into that. That one verse said, they shorten the time for the elect's sake because no flesh would be saved. Recognize, oh. Friends, when that says that, I said I was going to quit. I have to say this. When that says that, that's not saying the elect would be lost. It says that no flesh would be saved during the tribulation, but for the elect's sake, he's going to shorten that time. That's not because the elect's going to be lost. They're being shortened so they can save that flesh for your sake. Not because you're going through that, but the people you love. They weren't even supposed to be on earth to begin with. Please give me 2 more minutes. The only reason they're on earth is because of the fall. Without the fall, only the elect would have ever been on earth. But God saw what was going to happen. He allowed it to come through sex. He allowed the world to be populated. He put you in families with people who are not elect. He gave you friends with people who are not elect. And he said, if I don't shorten that time, they won't be saved. But for your sake, because you love them.
You talk about the grace of God. Friends, the tribulation period is nothing but the grace of God to those Gentiles who are being deceived right now. Because that tribulation period should only be him turning back to the Jews. But he said, for my elect's sake, I'm going to use it as a time to get these people saved. My. It's the grace of God to us. They weren't even supposed to be on earth. They're not elect. He says, I know that you love them. Remember he told Brother Branham, all that you loved and all that loved you? My. Brother Jerry brought it out last week really good. He said, you're gonna see those people. God's going to erase that memory. And you're going to, on judgment day, you're going to just see them as a person. Not like, well, they're my brother, they're my son, or they're my sister, or my dad, or whatever, something like that. And you're going to judge a righteous judgment. But you're going to look at that person, and you know what they've done for you. You know what they meant. Oh, I don't know how it's going to work out, friends. But this is why he says, I'm going to shorten those days. And I'm going to save those people for your sake. My. Okay. Okay. I wish I had more time to go into that, but I told you we're quitting. So here we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come and speak your word. We're so grateful that you love us so much that you would do things like just the little things that just make us happy, Lord, because you look at us as your bride and you say, well, she would like it this way and she would like it this way, and this is things that you do. And during all this time, you let us go through these hard trials, these bitter trials, this hot sun, the desert scorching us. And the whole time you're saying, just keep going. I brought you this far. Just keep pressing on, Lord Jesus. And that's what this is for this morning, is when we see the trials, we see the temptations, we see the hardships, we see the brutal grief, the things we had to endure. Yet we know that you brought us this far. And if we will keep pressing on, then you will take us all the way. We'll get out of here. We'll live in a place that we can't even imagine. It's going to be so amazing, Lord Jesus. So all you're saying is just endure for a season. That's what we're doing this morning, Lord. We're here to endure for a season, recognizing that this is your grace to us, that you have brought us this far. You're going to take us the rest of the way as you promised. Lord, you give us this word to identify the very age we're in, the very minute we're in. We're into the last few seconds. If this is the final deception, if this is the manifestation of it, and we see it happening around us, Lord, Satan can't get any more deceptive than this, because this is the last. This is what you warned us about many times. They come saying, I am Christ. Your prophet came and preached that message and say, these are the false anointed ones. Just because they can do everything that you can do and have everything, yet they're not with the word completely. And so don't be deceived by them. Look for the fruits, and knowing by the fruits what their ministry produces. And Lord Jesus, we're standing here recognizing that in this last day. Why? How can we can see it? Because this is the grace of God opens our eyes to see. You sent us a ministry to open our eyes, just like you said in Ephesians 4, to keep us from being tossed to and fro. And those people who won't sit underneath the correct ministry, it's impossible for them not to be deceived. But you will take care of your elect, and you will make sure that they will sit under that ministry. This is why you brought us here. We can look at the people in this church, the places we come from, all over the place, and here we are gathered together. And many people look at it and say, well, there's not much going on in that church in Dixon, but I beg to differ. I beg to differ because I see the bride of Christ being formed into the very character of Christ in this little church. I see things changing. I see attitude changing. I see behaviors changing. I see so much changing, and it's coming through the correction, through the chastening, through the hard times. That's when people change. And Lord Jesus, you put us through the hard times because you have something special for us, for your bride. Lord, we just want to praise you now. We just want to worship you. We want to thank you, Father, for doing this work in our lives. I ask you to do this, Lord. Just accept our praise now, Lord Jesus. Move among us in your name. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus.